I trade freight services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast number 202. I'm Adam and I can't think of anything to say from the show. There were so many funny things really. You dogs. Will that do? Here's Mary. Mary Lang. Oh, what a great introduction this has been. This is Mary Lang.
All right, this is Mary. Nasty, brutish, and short. That about sums him up.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Aye, Master. Yours is indeed a towering intelligence.
Robert Haynes.
Look, the stars are falling.
And they can't get up.
Right, sorry, carry on, because I'm just texting Ben.
Tick, 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 tick. So we start the story with...
Not that part of it. Right, anyway, right. I'm here now, so I might get a bit distracted, as I did then, because I was just texting Ben, because I said, are you going to be able to record today? And he said, what time? I said, well, we're recording now for the next 2 hours. And then he started writing something, and then he stopped. Now he's writing something again. Yeah, so thanks to Reese and Matthew for their heartfelt contributions to the show this week. And
now, Matthew did send in some feedback.
Did he? What, last time?
Yeah. Yes, but what's his excuse? And how long has he had the excuse?
I don't know. I have had a message from Ben, though, a bit more committed. He's going to be joining us after 11.
He's been committed.
It'll be interesting to see how he's going to do, and you won't get this one, bearing in mind he hasn't probably watched the episode. But never mind. I'm sure he'll provide us with a suitable comedy. Right then, so this week we're going to be looking at the Time Warrior. So therefore, here we go. Now, the interesting thing initially about the Time Warrior, it was clearly recorded at the end of the previous series because the Doctor's hair in the title sequence is white, but his hair in the story is sort of greyish white. So he must have had some sort of blue rinse before.
Either that, or he went for the font too.
Awful lot.
It's a pretty small detail.
Yeah, but either that, or he went for an awful lot of stress between the end of episode. His fourth series and the beginning of his fifth series. Nevertheless,
Do you remember though, in Invasion of the Dinosaurs, they had a go at Sarah because she had a haircut in the break between the seasons.
Yes, I think we might be moving ahead. Yes. There. Anyway, meanwhile, right, we have...
This was filmed in May of 1973.
Was it? Okay. And when was the other lot filmed then?
Peckforton Castle, which is a folly,
not a castle. When was the rest of his last series begun to be filmed, if you know what I mean?
The next one? I'll have that for you in a second.
Which was it?
Well, in the commentaries...
Invasion of the Dinosaurs, wasn't it?
Elizabeth Sladen says something about 6 months... from this one to filming the next one.
Ah, well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Yes, and they filmed the Invasion of the Dinosaurs in early September 73.
Excellent. Right, anyway, right. So we start off, and it's quite a long gap between the episode beginning and we seeing the Doctor or anything, because we've got the magnificent David Dacre, who is so superb as Eingren. It's probably one of my favourite characters in the history of Doctor Who, because he is... Obviously, he's been given some brilliant dialogue by Robert Holmes, but... Oh, he's so good. He is so good. And he's sort of slightly comedic in some ways, but he plays it totally straight and fantastic. So this sort of white blob falls to the ground.
Unless you decide to turn on the revamped special effects.
Nah, we don't want the revamped special effects, but if you look at what I'm watching, you can see out the window, and this sort of white blob zigzags.
Yes. No, I tried watching the revamped special effects the very first time I bought the DVD, and they were okay, but this time I watched it normally.
Yeah. I'd just like to point out that Robert's just disappeared, so I'm hoping he might reappear at some point. Maybe he's just gone to do a podcast with Matthew and Reese, perhaps. Anyway, right, so...
Yeah. but Mary's still with us, so they can't...
Yes!
That's true. Anyway, right, so, yeah... Eingren wants to go out into the forest. I got the impression it was nighttime. I think they did actually wait till the morning before going.
Yes, his men were afraid to go out at night. Yes. It's in the script.
Yes, they were.
Of course, they're sitting around eating and drinking, and I'm wondering, do people do that, you know, like before dawn?
Yeah, and the other thing I did notice, they did waste an awful lot, or Eingren wasted an awful lot of wine by slamming his tankard down on the table. Which was quite fun.
Yeah, that table was getting a regular soaking throughout this episode.
Well, it was sour wine. That's how he's served.
Yeah, but not. Oh, yeah, right. Fair enough. Anyway, so they meet Lynx, and I love his little flag that pops out. That's really, really good.
I know. It was rather amusing.
Yeah. I wonder if the Santarans still consider the planet theirs.
I suspect they probably do. The Doctor, meanwhile, has been given a special sort of headquarters, sort of lab, stroke office, stroke place to sleep. I can't remember what the Brigadier is up to here with all these scientists. Is it because scientists are disappearing, so he gets loads of scientists?
Yeah.
He gets loads of scientists together to find out why scientists are disappearing. Strange.
Right. That's correct.
And, and they disappear anyway.
Yes, probably even more. Yeah, and then
Fred and I were really amazed at how beat up the TARDIS looks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, it's due for a desktop reboot, isn't it?
You can't read the signs on it. It's just so horrible.
And large blotches of the color are like bleached out. It looks terrible.
I wonder what version of the prop are we on at the moment? Is this the original one? Or?
I think this is the original one.
Oh, okay. I'm sure.
I'm sure someone will.
If Matthew was here, he'd probably come up with the exact details.
Yeah, he probably would.
But anyway, So Lynx is put to work making guns for Irongren's men in exchange for something. I can't remember what it was because he's nicking scientists from present day. Well, say present day. I mean the mid 1970s/80s, and then we meet a lovely character called Sarah Jane Smith. I don't know if you've heard of her before.
This is a nice introduction to her.
Yeah, I don't like her hair much, but she or her clothes for that matter. But she's
Even in the commentary, it's noted that she shifts from this nicely tailored suit to her character. Changes so much that she's in that Andy Pandy thing at the very end of her run. It's just she even commented about that she was all stiff and stuff at the very beginning. And
I thought she was reasonably consistent to say that.
Yeah,
I thought she was okay. Very feisty. She was all feisty. Probably a little bit more brave in this story than in future ones.
This is the first TARDIS.
Is it?
They didn't. It finally fell apart at the end of season 13. Yes, Matthew, season. And then that's when they reconstructed it for season 14.
So who was that then, season 14? Who would that have been? Pertwee?
This is season 11.
This is 11, yeah.
Okay.
So it was the middle of Baker.
Yeah, that would be Baker's.
Okay.
First Baker.
Yeah, then Doc Cotton is on it with with some bloke with a terrible wig who looks like somebody out of Monty Python, funny enough.
yes.
Talking of Monty Python, it did rather remind me of the Spanish Inquisition sketch, even though there's no Spaniards in it. And there's a bloke, one of the sort of people in the background, who's got one of the worst wigs I've ever seen in my life, even worse than David Dacre's wig. Just looks like head.
The designer for this one, I'm not sure of his name. He only did one Doctor Who story, but he came from doing Dave Allen at Large.
Oh, right.
Hello.
Hello, Robert.
He said he used to do a lot of churches and castles and stuff because
that's the designer.
Obviously Dave Allen's show had lots of that sort of thing.
Okay.
Including the priest Dalek thing that Ian was talking about recently.
So, Robert, where did you go?
My computer strangely just froze.
Our things freeze in the northern hemisphere. Your stuff doesn't freeze.
Your stuff melts.
Adam,
yes?
44 degrees, Adam.
No, I didn't say anything. I was just wondering where you went.
I'm just saying how hot it was here.
Okay, I'll tell you how hot. I've got my thermometer here. It's currently 16.5 degrees in this room.
Adam,
yes?
The minimum temperature the other night was nearly 30 degrees.
Excellent.
That's
moving not, away from the round the world temperature
not
podcast.
We're not hearing your fan though, like we heard last year.
That's because he's gone to support Matthew instead of
aimed at the microphone.
Anyway, right, yeah. Right. Back to this episode. Yeah, the Doctor. We meet Rubish, who's rather short-sighted, even with his glasses on.
Rubbish with an E.
Rubish,
yes.
Rubish, isn't yeah. He's Rubish. Yeah. Very Rubish.
And by the way, bow ties are cool in this episode. Actually, Rubish's bow tie is very similar to Matt Smith's, actually. And the Doctor is making a gadget for detecting Delta particles.
Did you notice how green the Doctor is?
Green?
Green velvet coat, yes. Green bow tie, green ruffles. I mean, he was like he was going to a prom.
Even Hal the Archer, he was a bit green.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
I was just talking about the Doctor's outfit. Oh, yes. Maybe it's from the Green Death.
Rubish gets Rubish disappears, and don't we see a sort of ghostly Sontaran at the top of the stairs? It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
And so a couple of pathetic unit soldiers who
I know
sort of
duh
shoot at the wall, and the Doctor decides that he's going to go off in the TARDIS, and probably the one and only time that John Pertwee's Doctor actually went exactly where, as he says in the script, exactly where he meant to go in space and time.
A better TARDIS.
He's been able to other times.
What, Pertwee's Doctor? Are you sure?
He was going back and forth accurately Metabilis 3.
Okay, but not necessarily in time. Right planet, not necessarily the right time. This time it was precisely the right planet and the right time.
Uh-huh, excuses.
Anyway, he has a stowaway. And it's quite funny when Sarah Jane is being sort of carted into Iron Grun's castle. Gear off! Sort of thing. It's quite funny. And then the Doctor catches a glimpse of Lynx and nods his head even before he takes his helmet off because he realises that he's a Sontaran.
Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah. So it's also interesting because I think the Sontaran is supposed to be a bit of a shorty. That, and then, of course, later on we hear it referenced that
he's not that short.
Iron Grun was quite short. Well, it was in the script. Thank you very much.
He's supposed to be Bob Hoskins.
He's supposed to be Bob Hoskins.
Iron Grun was supposed to be
glad it
Bob
wasn't.
Hoskins.
I'm glad it wasn't because David Dacre was superb. Anyway, right.
I know. Excellent.
Yeah, the squire of
Bloodaxe.
No, the squire of Sir. Oh, I can't remember. Oh, Sir Edward.
Edward.
Yeah.
Wessex.
Yeah. He tries to shoot Iron Grun, but gets put off by Sarah Jane. This is before she gets arrested by Bloodaxe.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah, good. Yes.
Was June Brown? She was Dot in EastEnders. Was
were
she?
Were you not on when I said Dot Cotton? You weren't, were you?
No, I wasn't. No.
Okay, never mind.
That's why I asked you.
And well, I wouldn't know who that is.
Yes, you would.
No, she was in the original EastEnders. Yeah.
She's still in EastEnders.
Yeah, she still is.
Is she still in there? Oh,
yeah, she's like one of the longest running characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was. It was only about 6 months into the original when EastEnders started. It was only about 6 months in that she joined the cast, and she's been in it ever since. Yeah, and she was on. She was on the Graham Norton show with a Hollywood actor that I can't remember the name of. Never mind. But it was very good. She was very good with him. Never mind.
I was just wondering because when I was thinking, where have I seen her before? Drove me mad until I saw.
Now I've mentioned that, I'm going to have.
My goodness, she's 86 now.
Yeah, and your audio is.
Yeah, and she looks every bit of it too.
Hang on.
And she, I think she smokes one of those electrical cigarettes in real life now, rather than
e-cigarette.
That better?
No,
much worse.
Sound like you got an electric razor to your throat.
Good description.
And it's vibrating, going.
Oh, I know who she was with. She, June Brown, when she was on the Graham Norton show, she got on particularly well with Lady Gaga, which is not really surprising because they're quite similar characters. Ooh. Do you mind not flapping your ears when I'm on my podcast?
Sorry.
Yeah. So,
was this recently?
Yes, very recently. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, right. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the Time Warrior. Yeah, I do love the rapport that Kevin Lindsay's Lynx has with Iron Grim. The sort of...
Yeah.
The back and forth sort of one minute they're going to kill each other, the next minute they're the best of friends thing, although that's sort of more in Iron Grim's sort of quarter than Lynx's. But it's so funny that when Lynx gets threatened by Iron Grim, the way he sort of... threaten me again and I shall kill you, sort of thing.
And Iron Grin is never impressed by that.
Yeah. I know.
And also in this episode, there's quite a lot of firsts in this episode. We see the first Sarah Jane possessed look. We see the first mention of Gallifrey. We see the first mention of various other things. One of the Time Lords... their youth ends when they're 200. What else did we say? There's lots of firsts in this episode, isn't there? Come on.
Well, it's a first Sontaran.
New title sequence.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite a... Although I don't think that this episode was designed for the new title sequence. Because like I said, it was filmed in amongst the episodes of the previous series.
Well, they have plenty of time...
Pardon?
During the summer to read through the title sequence.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm Kirby.
They didn't have to do the title sequence when they were filming the episode.
Oh, Kirby, you're breaking up again.
Yeah.
That's hard
breaking
to do.
Up is hard to do. Anyway, back to the episode. Sorry.
Please see what else I can do.
Sorry, Kirby. Anyway, moving on.
But I do find it interesting that Lynx is dedicating so much of his stolen scientist's time making these
weapons.
Actually not that efficient weapons and soldiers and all that for Iron Grin, when you'd think he would be dedicating all of their attention to getting his spaceship fixed.
Yeah, indeed. But meanwhile, like I say, Lynx does make him a sort of a robot soldier type thing, which...
it's crap.
Yeah, gets killed very easily by Iron Grin, but they do have a bit of fun with it, which is quite funny. Yeah. What else happens? Right.
How's my sound now?
A little bit better. A little bit better. I can understand what you're saying, which is a bonus.
I don't understand why it gives me problems some weeks and sometimes it's fine.
I don't understand either.
Same thing happens to me.
You've got to bear in mind that my audio goes funny after about an hour anyway, as you keep telling me I sound like a Cyberman. So it's nice to get my own back in some way. Anyway, meanwhile...
Well, if it gets really bad, you'll have to give me the 5 to 7 minutes to reboot.
Yes.
Although I did reboot before we started.
So we'll start
recording.
The quiz at that point. Anyway, right. So, Iron Grin breaks into Lynx's sort of little dungeon and slightly shocked by his looks for a short period of time, but soon gets used to it. The Doctor also breaks in and has a bit of a chat with Lynx. Sorry, I'm getting his name.
Rubish.
He has a chat with Rubish and with Lynx, and then gets a red light shined in his face. Sarah Jane, meanwhile, goes and meets Sir Edward and tells him that there's a real baddie in the other castle called the Doctor, and they must get him. So they have a plan to go and get him.
Don't forget Boba Fett.
Yeah. Sorry?
Boba Fett. We meet Boba Fett.
We do?
Yes. Hal the Archer.
Don't forget
the Archer is played by Jeremy Bullock. Okay. He's Boba
and
Fett.
He was in an earlier story, you know.
Han Solo in the cargo hold.
I'm pretty sure he was in the Space Museum.
Yes, he was.
Anyway, the Lynx attaches the Doctor's sort of head to some machine that if he moves a certain way, he'll get electrocuted.
Wasn't that a pair of headphones?
Yeah. But fortunately, Rubish is there to flick the wrong switch and then the right switch. and the Doctor escapes and has a John Pertwee sort of battle sequence in the yard, which is quite funny with him running around. It's not actually him, obviously.
It is funny because it is so stupid.
It's quite well choreographed.
Except
but
that's his stunt double.
Yeah, but Havoc had a great time doing this, didn't they? It was really quite funny. But unfortunately, Iron Grund does catch up with him. He's just about to hit him on the head with the axe, which sort of happened a few times this episode, that he was just about to hit him on the head with the axe.
I know.
Yes.
But fortunately, he doesn't, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't have much of a... Or would he have regenerated? Probably not.
Headless.
Anyway, so episode 3. I do like these titles, I must admit. He survives because the Hal, is it, shoots his axe superbly with the arrow.
Good shot.
Yeah. And then eventually, there's lots of hi from in this episode from John Pertwee. Very friendly man. He keeps on saying hi to everyone.
Yes, in Japanese.
Sarah Jane and Hal rescue him to kidnap him, if you know what I mean. The doctor, that is. I quite like the way that Iron Grund sends Blood Axe down to sort of give messages to Lynx, and Blood Axe is trying to be all tough, but he sounds really scared when he's saying
it. I think
pretty good acting. It's got to be.
He was well played, that character. Yeah.
Yes.
Then the doctor hatches a plan to foil Iron Grund's attack on the castle by making some dummies and some exploding powder.
Not very convincing.
No, but it did lead to the array did occur, and they did sort of. Another way, he was just nonchalantly throwing them over his shoulder. Quite funny. And then the way that the men all flee, and Iron Grund's not having any of it, and they go back to the castle, and he sort of insults them, as he seems to do to everyone.
But then Link says, and you were leading the retreat to the Iron Grund.
Yeah, and then sort of Link's primitive, childish primitive. It's just so good, the dialogue. I mean, as I say, this sort of dialogue is quite regular in Robert Holmes's work.
Like Wellens of Talents of Wang Chiang.
Wellens of Tang Chiang, yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's a new one.
The sequel to Talents of Wang Chiang.
Taunt me not, little Toad Pacer, by the stars, I'll see the color of your
don't
blood
be
is
so
red like mortal man.
Yes, obviously, that title, Big Finish, is copyrighted, by the way, if you try and nick it. Anyway, right, so it sort of worked for a bit, the plan, because obviously they did end up going back to the castle. And then there's another plan that the Doctor and Sarah come up with, where they got some sleeping draught for the guards, and they pretend to be monks while entering the castle.
Elizabeth Sladen said she doesn't remember even wearing that monk's habit thing.
Oh.
During the commentary.
Okay, well, it was a long time ago. Rubish, meanwhile, has made a sort of an eyeglass thing to enable him to see a bit better. But obviously, that was a while back. I'm just only mentioning it now. The Doctor tries to bring all the other scientists out of their trances with his torch.
I like some of the expressions on the guys' faces when they're roused from their stupor.
Yeah. Then there's another confrontation between the Doctor and Lynx, and then that little red torch gets shined in the Doctor's face, and that's the end of episode 3.
Yeah, how thrilling that was. For the episode ender. Oh no, some red light!
So that, how does he get saved? That's, I think Rubish does something to... Oh, he whacks on Sontaran on the back on his probic vent.
Probic vent.
Good shot as well for Rubish.
The 4x2.
Yes. Also, I forgot to mention about Sarah ending up in the kitchens with the serving wench.
With Dinah.
Dinah?
Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
it's an American song.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you one thing. I mean, this is jumping ahead a little bit. One thing that disappointed me was the way that Iron Grund dies, spoilers, because he's such a really good character. It's just such a shame that he died in a sort of the way he did, and sort of just being shot randomly by Lynx. Just sort of...
But what, the next time we see Santarans, it's one of his clones.
What do you mean?
What?
To meet Iron Grund.
Oh, Iron Grund.
He's talking about Iron Grund.
About bloody Lynx. Iron Grunt, he's superb, and then just got shot by a laser gun thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Very disappointed. What? What do you mean, no?
Never mind. No, I said,
Never mind.
Tell you what, the costumes of the scientists are filthy buggers, aren't they? They really could do with a bit of a wash. But I do like the way that they sort of implied that, you know, they basically just been working them with no rest and they're entranced and they sort of...
How come Grubish looking so well?
Because he's got his faculties.
He hasn't been working.
Yeah, but he's got his faculties. He's able to pace himself, isn't he?
We never see him get any food either.
Yeah, but if you've got your faculties, you can sort of... If Lynx is there, you can pretend you're working. And when he's not, you can just slack off, can't you? Because everybody else is in the trance and doing the work. They won't notice that you're not doing any work. So he just paced himself. Never mind.
And he was the most recent one, too.
Yeah.
Those other ones had disappeared long before he did.
Good point, Mary.
Meanwhile, the doctor has created sorted out a little route back for the scientists, and the scientists start getting sent back to 20th century, and all of the Iron Grun's men all sort of pass out. But Iron Grun is the strongest. He wakes up earliest, and the doctor's made a little sort of circular fan thing to stop being shot.
Hal happens to, when he disarms everyone, he puts their swords right next to them.
I know.
So
right
that they
there.
Can crit.
Yeah. I wondered about that too. It's like, well, they can just lean over and pick up their swords.
Yeah. and then, of course, that leads to when Argrim wakes up, he goes down to face on Lynx and gets shot, which I say is such a disappointing end for Iron Grun. I think I would have preferred it if somehow Iron Grun would have actually lived out this episode. Been the one that sort of ended up.
But he
killing
did come
Lynx.
Back.
Who did?
His ancestor came back.
Who's ancestor?
In Nightmare of Eden.
How do you know that?
Well, he was the captain.
Really?
Of the Starliner. He was the captain of the Starliner.
Oh yeah, because it's the same actor.
He was.
But they didn't state it was an ancestor.
And also, Lynx. This isn't Kevin Lindsay's first story. He was Choje
It was his first story.
I'm sorry, this was his first story. Yes, he will be in that one
Make
later.
Make your mind up.
Yeah, anyway, but I agree, Adam. I think Iron Grin deserved a more spectacular death if he was going to die.
He was a fantastic
Who's Iron Grin? He's Iron Grin.
Be quiet. Anyway, right. All right, I'm going to my review first because it's my disc that I'm watching at the moment. All right, I'm going to have to burp.
No.
Yeah, the cat. No, probably the cat. Right, so you probably heard my tone that although it's not my favourite story, I won't dig it out to watch unless I have to. I do have great fun watching this story simply because of Iron Grun and the fact that it's Sarah Jane's first, and John Pertwee is particularly good in it. And you know, I'd forgotten how good it was actually until I watched it this time. It's just a great deal of fun, this story, and I should really watch it more often. The dialogue in it, like I said before, is just out of this world. It's just so good. It's just so funny, and it's not really trying to be funny. It's just good, you know. And it's not funny laughing at it. It's funny laughing with it because of the sort of slightly over the topness of Iron Grun. And like I say, he's the major star of it for me. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So I'm quite glad that came up on our little run of stories. Kirby, what did you think?
Oh, I just absolutely love this story. This was one of the first DVDs I ever got because, well, I am so in love with Sarah Jane Smith that I had to get her first story. Woo! And when I got this DVD, it was the first time I saw this story.
Wow.
And that was, 5 or 6 years ago. And,
2007 it came out.
Okay, so I must have gotten it right around the time that it came out. And it's just one of my favorites. I will go back and watch this one anytime. And, although I'll always watch it, as I said, with the original effects. Instead of the redone effects, although they did do a better job with the redo of the castle blowing up.
Yeah, that was a bit weird, wasn't it? That castle blowing up because it didn't seem like it was a castle.
Oh, and did you notice that the serving winches don't get away?
Oh, poor serving winches. Maybe they're cooking one that good.
So they all blow up with it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know that. We just didn't see them get away.
True. Anyway, are you done?
I suppose.
Sorry. I just went a bit quiet, so I presume you finished. Right then. Mary!
As you know, I'm still catching up on Classic Who, so I don't have a favorite companion yet. And so I was not that caught up in the Sarah Jane fervor like a lot of people yet. But a good, maybe month or so ago, I did see the Suntaran experiment. And when Sarah Jane sees the Suntaran emerge from his capsule, first thing out of her mouth is, Lynx!
Of course,
that is meaningless to those of us who don't know anything about that. So it was nice to see this episode and why she thought that was Lynx.
Yeah, and also the good thing about that, Mary, is the fact that obviously at the time that there was a reference to it. Because there wasn't a lot of referencing earlier stories in Doctor Who at that time. And that was that was really good. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
But what I did appreciate, very good script, and I loved all the dialogue and how the humor is kind of within the dialogue. When the doctor talks about having had 200 years to learn something, and that kind of brings the little dinner party he's at, to a stop while they all stare at him, is really good. I like this introduction to Sarah Jane. I like that. That she and the doctor don't get along right away, and that she initially is suspicious of him and actually thinking that he's the enemy and all, but learning, that he really is the wonderful person that he is. So I like that as an introduction to a companion. All the characters, I love the characters in it. I have a lot of things I could pick on. Like one of the things I dislike about Pertwee and his era is his whole Venusian Aikido stuff, this fake fitness, because he's really pretty fragile. Yeah, that high and his running around the courtyard. But there's so little of that in this story that I like, I like the story overall, whereas there are Pertwee stories where, he gets to be the Aikido guy and those I don't care for. But this one I do. I really enjoyed it and I would watch it again.
Excellent. Robert?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much with you guys, it's one that I really enjoy. And I think it's one of those ones where having a historical background doesn't detract from the story and adds from it. And I think what helps is having those sci-fi elements in it, with the alien and the spaceship. and I thought absolutely well cast, really good cast. Loved the interaction between Iron Grun, Blood Axe, and Lynx. And as you say, it's good to see the humor not from, trying to deliberately be humorous with some slapstick or something, but actually, from the witty dialogue. And we even got a hell's teeth out of Iron Grun, which I thought was funny, which we associate with.
I didn't hear that one.
I didn't either.
When he's Lynx is in the background and he's talking, when he's standing at the table, I can't remember. It's one of the earlier episodes anyway. But he happens to come out with hell's teeth in the middle of talking about something. So I thought that was funny.
And during the scene when Sarah's brought in and they're discussing her, something like, have you no girls in the outer space, something like that.
And even thinking something back to the way
find it in the
transcript.
The subtitles.
When Sarah's introduced to Lynx, he says, so there are two species on your planet kind of thing.
Yeah, I
thought that was nice.
Yes, absolutely.
just a great character. I think this is one of the best that they've actually done a Suntaran. I just love that sort of look for the Suntaran, the original look and the original outfit that they had.
The current, obviously Daniel Starkey, plays obviously Strax at the moment. He does actually... So he's more closer to this version of a Suntaran than the other ones.
Definitely.
So I'm quite pleased he's done that.
Yeah, because I love the dialogue that Ken Stark, you know, the way he does the dialogue is very close to the way Kevin Lindsay was as a Santaran.
And Lindsay gives a lot of personality to this Santaran.
Yeah.
I heard.
Oh, poor old Kirby. He's going all funny again.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant story. I must admit, it's not one that I sort of get out and thinking, if I want to watch a story, I'll watch this. But yeah, when you do sit down and watch it, it's one that you can, I mean, I watched all four episodes one after the other. It was that engaging.
I didn't think I'd have to
watch one episode. But yeah, very, very good. Yeah. I'm glad we got the chance to, review it.
So am I. Right. Excellent. So, most of us sort of really liked it, didn't we, really? So, thumbs up.
Yes.
Thumbs up then for The Time Warrior. Not so much thumbs up for Kirby's audio, but hey. Right then, so I might as well move on to a bit of, see if there's any news. I tell you what, though, talking of news, there were some very interesting photographs from the opening day shooting of Doctor Who that became available.
Bang.
Sorry? What did you say?
Shooting. Bang. I said bang.
Oh, I see.
I said shooting. I said bang.
Yes, your audio is a bit difficult to decipher. Yeah. So you have a
problem. Do you want me to, before we start the quiz, do you want me to reboot?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, don't start the quiz without me.
How are you going to...
Don't reshoot, though.
Yeah, but how are you going to shut down all the other programs that automatically open up when your computer does?
We'll see what happens.
Okay. See you soon. Ooh. Right, now we can talk about him. Right, that bloody Kirby! Honestly, all the things I have put up with on this show.
Oh, always interrupting.
Yeah, and always having funny audio. Yeah, interrupting. I can't cope anymore. Anyway, right. Doctor Who news. Right. Like I said, it was lovely to see. I know he's still wearing Matt Smith's costume, which is quite interesting. But it was a lovely photo of him with Jenna sort of pointing. And then somebody put on Facebook a picture of another version of the Doctor pointing in a very similar way. But really, there's not much. Oh, yeah, the shortlist for the National Television Awards has been revealed. And that shows that Matt Smith and Doctor Who are both listed, along with David Tennant for a different programme called Broad Yawn. And Olivia Colman again for Broad Yawn. And Saran Jones.
Isn't it Broadchurch?
Yes, but I call it Broad Yawn because it's far too long.
Okay. Isn't that boring? Is that
not boring? It's just too long. It's just pad it out.
Well, I only saw the first series of it, so I enjoyed it.
They haven't
I didn't find it too long.
They haven't had any more. Well, they're making.
Oh, I thought that they had filmed a second.
Now they're making a second series or filmed. Yeah, they might have finished filming. I don't know. The Best of the Doctor, Radio 4 DVD details. Oh, Region 4. What's the R for? Let's just say Region instead of...
That's my Radio 4 region.
Beast of the Doctor. Sorry, Best of the Doctor.
It's already out.
What's the matter with me? I can't read all of a sudden. Is it already out? Is it?
It's already out, though.
Oh, shut up, then.
Yeah.
Moments in Time, The Master, the next in our ongoing features. That's a feature done by DoctorWhoNews.net, so I'm not going to mention it. Big Finish were releasing those of freebies, or sorry, not so much freebies, although they're almost free because it's like 80% off stuff over the Christmas season. Only one of which I didn't already have, but I did buy the one I didn't already have.
Which is that?
The Tom Baker one. Renaissance Man, is it? The Doctor Who magazine has also posted a photograph of Peter Capaldi in the 11th Doctor's costume minus bow tie on the front cover of its what issue is that one? Doesn't say. It just says the next issue. Or maybe it hasn't come out yet. Maybe that's why they haven't said which issue it is. Other than that, it's shocking, isn't it? Other than that, there's
very shocking.
A lot of news. Katie Manning on Twitter said, was it just me, but end of Sherlock so brilliant? Well, I don't know because I don't watch Sherlock.
I haven't seen it. So.
It was terrible, terrible program. I wouldn't bother. Yeah, so really, not much going on.
Don't be like that.
I'm joking. I just haven't seen it. I was trying to spoil it for you. So not a lot in the line of Doctor Who news. Unless anybody else knows different. Has anybody heard anything on the Doctor Who grapevine? Because you lot all visit forums and stuff, don't you? So have you heard anything?
I tend not to visit a lot of forums because I don't like spoilers.
Oh, okay.
I love spoilers, actually. It doesn't spoil the episode. Yeah, but it doesn't spoil the episode for me. I mean, I don't mind some spoilers, but I mean, some that sort of totally spoil things by, you know, revealing so much, but
like
a
all these
little
pictures
bit. I don't mind
of
little
Capaldi
teats.
In the 11th Doctor's costume. I mean, already, you know, there's all this stuff spinning out about, oh, maybe he's chosen to keep that costume. Yeah,
oh,
yeah. And you know that's not true. Yeah, you know that's not true.
Yeah, I think that's when it gets ridiculous.
It's just all the pictures that they happen to have now, which come from the end of the other episode.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of spinning, so I don't really get into the forums.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's funny that how I ended up doing podcasting was loosely because of forums, because Alistair Pearson, as I said, as you will hear in a future episode of this show when I talk to Paul Wilson, when I get round to finishing editing it, it was a case of Alistair Pearson said, oh, you want to join the Doctor Who forums on Doctor Who Online, so I did. And then all I saw posting on there was the DWO WhoCast. I thought, well, the blimmin' X that. Listened to it, thought, oh, this is quite good. And the rest is history, really.
And inspired you, yeah.
Well, only because I knew I could talk more sense than them. No, I didn't say that. right, so what else have we got? That's it. So that was news.
Well, do you want me to read Matthew's feedback? Because it's his review
of the episode. How did you end up with it and not me?
Well, he sent it to me as a message. He sent it as a message on Facebook, so I have a feeling it's because he wanted only one person to read it.
Right, okay. Well, I would reboot my Mac because of the gapping problem, so, but I don't want to frighten Kirby to think we're not here. So, yeah, you carry on. You do Matthew's feedback.
Okay. Is my audio all right?
It's okay. It's just I'm getting gapping problems.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I'm only joking.
Right. Okay. So I'm gapping too.
Everybody's gapping. It's Skype.
What? Big gap.
Shut up! Get on with it.
All right. Matthew says, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. And sorry I'm not with you again this week. Despite that, and to make sure I have some kind of presence on the show, as well as saving cats on a certain British isle from being strangled, I'm sending in this piece of feedback. Though I am something of a fan of both the Third Doctor and Sarah Jane, I must confess I've never been a big fan of this story. I think that was because I felt a bit down by it. I think he means let down by it for the first time on VHS. Out of one of the local public libraries during the first summer of my being a fan. I found it to be rather uninspired in places, from the direction of Alan Bromley to some of the characters who, despite some of Robert Holmes' best dialogue, come across as little more than cliches for many films and TV shows set in the Middle Ages, thanks to over-the-top performances. The special effects of the story are also lame, even for the period, which is something that producer Barry Letts notes in the making of on the DVD, and perhaps no better highlighted than with the falling star and the exploding castle, the effects that bookend the story. For those who have the DVD, I highly recommend watching the story at least once with the alternative CGI effects, as it does help the cosmetic problems of the story. That isn't to say that the story is bad at all, though. Sarah gets a cracking debut here with Elizabeth Sladen's performance, and the script makes certain that the character is firing on all cylinders, even at this point, and it's no wonder that she would go to be a favorite of many fans, myself included. Yeah. Her chemistry with Pertwee is nice, and it's interesting to see her relationship with this doctor, not just here, but in the rest of the season's stories before Tom Baker came in and the dynamic changed. Pertwee also gets plenty to do here, from his gadgets to shooting crossbows and dueling with Irongrun. And of course, there's the debut of the Suntarans here, or rather a Suntaran, with Kevin Lindsay playing Lynx. Having watched Strax in the new series over the last couple of years, it's interesting to go back to their origins, as it were, as I've always felt the cry of Moffat ruined the Suntarans with comedy to be unfair when one considers that Lynx does have some comedic lines in this, as he tries to deal with Middle Ages humanity, or Lynx commenting on not realizing Sarah is a woman, The latter brought to mind a similar moment with Strax and the Snowmen. Yet Lynx comes across as something of a credible threat, and the story firmly establishes so much of what we know of the Santarans today, though they've rarely been put to better use. Speaking of Santarans, and to make my obliging Big Finish reference, even though I'm not present, I'd like to point out that their audio debut in the Fifth Doctor story, The Heroes of Santar, is this month's pick of Big Finish, the listeners, and can be downloaded for a mere $2.99, be that pounds or dollars, and is well worth a listen. Big Finish have also produced what could have been the best Santoran TV story, The First Santorans, written by Full Circle writer Andrew Smith, part of the Lost Stories range, and was recently made available as part of their Christmas sale. I wonder if that sounds like something another podcast might review one day. Anyways, I'll let you get on with the show now and hope to be back next week. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Matthew. Yes, that was Matthew. Yes. Matthew Cress. I'm sure he used to be on the show at one point. Right, I've got a message. Hang on. Sorry, I just Skypey message. Oh, good. I should press the wrong button. No, it just says I've got a Skypey message, but there's nothing there. Don't know what's happened with Kirby.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
There, have you got a Skypey message now?
No.
You should have.
Yeah, but I can't see the messages.
We click on where it's, click on it.
Oh, hang on.
Where you see the orange thing?
That didn't work.
Just double click.
Oh, there we are. Robert Haynes, what do you mean, hello?
Well, you wanted a message and you said there was none, so I gave you one.
For God's sake. Right, that's
a message.
Hey!
I spent it!
It's Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. You'll probably be quite pleased, but you missed all of Matthew's feedback. So, well done.
What?
I mean,
you can listen to it on the recording.
Yeah, I got to try and sort
it. I wanted to know what he said.
Right.
You have to listen to the show.
Here we go. This is feedback. Hope this works.
Belated warm wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Podcast on your 200th episode.
Hey.
During the wonderful, they seem to be calling it, Arctic Blast. I'm calling it Ice Planet Reboss.
Stop. Oh, right. I'm going to stop this now. Bloody.
The crackling.
How am I supposed to get this to work? This bloody thing. It's almost broken my blimmin' speaker connection. Right, speak.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We're here.
Right.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Alicia.
Oh.
God, why is this...
Is it Alicia?
Why is it when I'm trying to sort out the audio, you lot shut up? Any other time, you don't. You rub it in on, but when I need you to speak...
I'm not shutting up. Hello, Alicia.
Right,
hello, Alicia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, you?
Too hot over here.
Their earphones, Alicia.
My earphones
are.
I'm going
to go to work. Why do you need to go to work?
I need to go and collect my wages, but they're not open, so...
Tough. You have to wait until they are open.
No, because I want to wait another
half an hour. Tough. Or go down there and wait outside. I'm...
No, I have to knock on the door. I've
got to cook the dog's dinner in a minute.
And plus, I've got to go and meet a new member of staff.
Oh, is that your replacement?
It's not my replacement. It's Luke's replacement.
Okay. Well, I can't help you with that one.
Use the force, Luke.
I was about to say that.
Me and Big Ali are going down there,
because
I'm
we know this.
Does he work with his eyes closed?
Oh. Three times.
Post.
Here comes the mail.
Oh, no, it's an advert from Haven. Anyway, so before we do some feedback from... What?
Staying alive.
Before we... It's not hot in here. You always moan about it. It's cold.
Hot in here.
You should do that more often. Before we do some feedback from Dr. Phil.
No, chippy or Chinese tonight?
What are you buying?
Chinese.
I've already got quiche lined up, so it's unlikely we'll be having Chinese. That. Well, it's got nothing to do with it. Why am I voting on what you're having for dinner?
Yeah, no, can't be bothered to cook
anything. What a surprise, but we just as well.
I like quiche.
Yeah, I'm having quiche tonight.
I cook, thank you very much.
No, you cook well, a little bit too much of rubbish stuff.
Rubbish stuff.
You do.
Why do you think I'm losing
chicken
weight?
Chicken strips.
Rubbish.
You've always been skinny.
I'm not losing weight.
Yeah. Anyway, like I say, before we do Dr. Phil's feedback, I'm going to put the dog dinner on. I shall be back forthwith. In the meantime, here's some messages.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
This is Daphne Ashbrook, and you are listening to 20 megabyte podcast. Don't miss it.
This is Toby Whithouse, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
This is Toby Haydoke, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, listen, and you're listening to the 20 megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah.
Hi, I'm Andrew Smith, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Blackwood, and you're listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I don't give a toss about your stupid bloody podcast.
By the way, Kirby, I really appreciated your posting of Hartnell being in The Mouse That Roared. I didn't know that.
I had heard it vaguely, but I... Oh, this feedback is
very
weird.
Disconcerting, yes. Isn't it?
I had heard
how many
that
times?
He was in it. Echo. But I'm reorganizing my DVDs, and I just happened to put that one on and saw him and went, wait a second.
Yeah.
What year is
he's
that
got
from?
a fairly large part.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I had seen it years ago.
Oh,
so
it's quite funny.
Anyway,
it is a good movie.
Mary, you time your lines well.
Peter Sellers was trying to do an Alec Guinness and
oh yes, and do several parts.
Yeah,
I like. Are you talking about Kind Hearts and Coronets? In regards
no, we're
to
talking
Alec.
About.
That's good too.
No, when you said about
the
Alec
mouse
Guinness,
that roared.
Hey, no, I said about Alec Guinness. Were you referring to Kind Hearts and Coronets?
What, Alec Guinness? Yeah,
Alec Guinness. Yeah,
yeah. Cracking film that is.
Yes, it is.
Right then, see if we can do Dr. Phil's audio. I just hope Ben doesn't call in the middle of this because it could be a bit awkward.
Belated warm wishes to everyone at the 20 megabyte podcast on your 200th episode during the wonderful, as they seem to be calling it, Arctic blast. I'm calling it Ice Planet Rebos that struck the middle United States in the past week. Been catching up on the 20 megabyte podcast while shoveling snow blowing, plowing, all of the above. But anyway, just wanted to share real quick small little Christmas thing that was kind of worked out throughout Christmas Day before seeing Time of the Doctor, reference to Handel's Messiah for Kirby, who will recognize it. But anyway, on Christmas Day, for unto us a child is born, yet we witness the death of a Time Lord. Many a fan may be forlorn, but Peter Capaldi has arrived. You've all been warned. So, there we go. A short little kind of Seussian Doctor Who-related poem for you. Anyway, but congratulations. It was great in episode 199. And that was my favorite part of your 200th celebration, was listening to the montage of everything from the beginning. And remembering, going, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, my gosh, yes, that's right, that happened. Some of it was very funny. Some of it was very dramatic. And I remember listening back to when Ben was leaving and Adam was weeping, or faux weeping anyway, that I remember both being moved and laughing my guts out at that moment. So, as always, in my car, and I've appreciated you having the car crash in that episode as well. So, anyway, I'm getting caught up now, and so hopefully I'll be sending in something a little bit more pertinent to what you're actually discussing. But anyway, Kirby, Mary, stay warm, and oh yes, a Mary Lang Christmas. I'm always like that gag, and it's fine. It's good. But anyway, you guys all take care. Hope you've had a wonderful Christmas, a happy new year, and are surviving Ice Planet Reboss all right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, it's always so lovely to hear from Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to our 300th episode when we hear from him again.
Isn't it good we've got listeners?
I beg your pardon?
Isn't it good we've got listeners?
Have you just noticed we've got listeners, Robert? This is quite good, but...
What's that? No, and they send him feedback.
Yeah, I know. More the merrier. I haven't actually given out the feedback address for ages, but it doesn't seem to make any difference either way. Yes, Kirby. Okay, right. I'll give it out just for the old time's sake. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. We have some more feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Wait, wait, Captain.
Adam has said he does not want the podcast to get gappy. I like Eve Miles, and I welcome her on the show. The Time Warrior by Robert Holmes. The beginning has a zoom in from space, which Russell T. Davis used a couple of times. Angrung's gang was so small because they were on a BBC budget. The first Robot Knight was a bit odd because the stuntman had a false head on top, which was later knocked off. When the second Robot Knight opened his visor, Pertwee was inside. I expect he was not in there for the fighting. This has June Brown as Eleanor. I recognised her by her voice. She is now famous, being in the soap EastEnders. Professor Rubish makes himself a monocle. I don't think he could. I think he would just have made frosted glass with that grindstone. Sarah Jane was Pert. The Doctor was Pertwee.
For God's sake.
Big Old Lansdowne has left the podcast page because he is a dog. Perhaps he will come back if he finds he has time on his hands.
Pause.
Perhaps he will come back if he has time on his paws. Bye for now.
Yes, that was the legend that is Ian Kirk.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you, Ian.
And therefore, just about enough feedback to stop me from singing Perfect Day.
Or strangling cats, as Matthew puts it.
So the next addition to this show will be somebody called Ben Shoveler.
Shen Bavler.
No, Ben Shoveler. Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you did then. I don't know where you got that idea from.
Ronnie Barker.
Ronnie Barker. Oh, and his spoon.
Yeah, Ronnie Barker was the master
of spoonerisms.
That was it. Spoonerisms.
That was a spoonerism.
Pronunciation.
Yes, what I just said, spoonerism. If you buy my book, From Troy to Man, there's a whole, there's a character actually that I invented for that book that basically can only speak in spoonerisms. Basically, he's just got a speech impediment that where he can't pronounce things properly and he spoonerizes. I had really good fun writing that character. There's quite a few funny characters that I created for From Troy to Man. I can't even say the title of my own book. So if you want to buy a book with some funny characters in it, it's an e-book, by the way. Please go to iTunes or Amazon where you can download it. That's From Troy to Man by me. Where you can also download a book called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, which is the spin-off quiz book from our soon-to-be-heard quiz for the day. You won't get this one, and judging on last week's performance, you definitely won't get this one because you didn't, did you? Right then, where's Ben?
Ben,
he did say 5 minutes, and that was 10 minutes ago.
I got last week's.
Ben. What do you mean you got last? Oh yeah,
yeah,
very
yeah.
Good.
It's all right. Saying, yeah, rub it in. Rub
yeah,
it in.
After saying you wouldn't, yes.
Oh yeah.
Just like he's here this week.
What's your excuse this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only was able to watch the story through 1.5 times.
I will tell you that by way of handicap, I'm going to give Ben double points if he joins in with the quiz this week. Because he won't have watched it. And I think there's very little chance of him being an active contributor, apart from comedy, to the show. So I will give him double points. Aren't I kind? So while they're still waiting for him, I think it's a good idea to have a quick peep at whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yes,
what
is it,
Barry?
She it's knows.
whowon.co.uk, so you can't catch me on that anymore.
Oh,
she knows.
Sonic screwdriver. I've got one of those, but I can't dig it out of the box. I'm currently using the box as a microphone stand. But yes, I've got one of them. But you can get them from whowon.co.uk for
£9.99.
Oh, they're great, actually. They're really sort of, they move in the same way as the Fourth Doctor Sonic screwdriver.
You can afford Macintoshes, but you can't afford a microphone stand.
I nearly got one from Lidl, actually, a while back.
Nearly isn't good enough.
But
it's because he's still paying on his Mac that he can't afford.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
my microphone came with a microphone stand.
Well done, yes. I might get one.
My microphone came in the computer.
Oh, here he is. How do you... Oh, here you go. Let's press that button, see what happens.
Ben!
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
Can you hear me?
Well, hello.
I can indeed.
I've been calling you for ages.
Well, that's a deep subject.
Well, that's interesting because the battery that operates my microphone has died and you can still hear me, which means obviously the battery is not needed.
Well, I don't know about that. It's a bit sort of got a strange background hiss, but hey, I don't care. I can hear you.
That'll be the anacondas that I have crawling around my flat. I just thought I'd snake it up a bit today.
That's what she said.
There's no need for that. I don't know who started that, but seriously, they should take a good, hard, long look at themselves in the mirror. Because comments like that...
Hard, long look when you're talking about snakes.
Look, if you want to look at your snake in the mirror, you go for it.
It's ironic, actually. Sorry, Ben. It's quite ironic. You've joined us at the moment. I've got to reboot my Mac because of gapping.
Do you know what? I've had so many issues with gapping.
You have? Waiting for the punchline. Oh, you haven't. Okay, right. And so if you could all please stay online. I don't know whether to do an advert for one of my many books in the meantime. While I reboot my Macintosh, please don't go. That's a song, isn't it? Please don't go. Anyway, right. Yeah,
babe, I love you so. Right. And I want you to know.
Yes, I'll be back soon.
You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm not.
Is he there?
Who?
Hello. Sex hotline.
Oh, for God's sake.
I've been bitten by a snake.
What? Why did that take so long?
Simply because I've got my
eyes. It's Matthew.
Well, if you allow me to explain. I had my iPad plugged into my Mac, and it tried to open up iTunes. Therefore, it took a bit longer to get going, so I could shut down iTunes.
Ooh, something wrong with the Apple product. Ooh.
I don't know.
No,
there's definitely something wrong. Something wrong with your audio.
Never.
What's his name? Oh, now the phone's ringing. For f- sake.
We're flying out loud.
Hello,
I'd like a super supreme, please.
Would you like a short haircut or a long haircut?
All right, let me start Skype again.
So obviously that phone call's more important than us.
Yes.
Here, have a cat.
Found out that one of his family members has died. You'll feel really bad now.
I would then. Yes.
True. How true.
Maybe Alicia's been arrested at Pizza Hut for stealing pizza.
Or one of his dogs got hit by a car, you know, and then we're going to feel bad.
Oh, no.
Maybe Debbie's scissors are broken. Adam, get down the shop and buy me a new pair of scissors.
Need some more scissors?
I need some scissors and I need them now.
Doesn't talk like that, Ben.
I know she doesn't. She's a lovely, lovely lady, Debbie. I'm just obviously doing my parody of her.
I'm back.
Give me some scissors.
Right, front and
side
scissors.
Hair to cut.
Basically, that was Alicia's school phone app. We had a form last week with a view to
just
visiting.
School.
Be quiet. We had a form last week that came through that had all her like us to meet the teachers and discuss her education through them. But she deliberately stalled on it and then took the form away and deliberately lost it because she simply doesn't want us to meet her teachers. So
basically, that's what I said it would be.
Fancy that.
Therefore, I was going to phone up the teachers and arrange it myself. But that was her maths teacher phoning up and as trying to know, saying, why don't you want to come and see me?
How does that add up, did you say?
How does what add up?
It's a maths teacher.
They have a debate. They have a debate. Then.
Well, shut up.
Well, isn't she graduating?
Well, she's at sixth form college at the moment. So she's.
But oh, okay.
But she chose the wrong subjects. She chose English literature, sociology. She had to do maths from a reset. She had to do maths reset because she failed a maths GCSE by 1%, and they wouldn't—they refused to re-evaluate it. So she's had to redo a maths GCSE, and that was her maths teacher. Yeah, so, but yeah, she's trying to do it. She's good with the English literature A level, but it's all the other A levels she's done, but she's flunking at the moment. So she should have done what we suggested, which was performing arts, photography, art, and stuff like that, which she probably flies through quite easily, but she wouldn't listen to us. Maybe if we just told her to do sociology and all the other things,
to your parents.
Then she might have done the opposite. You know? The only thing she's done that's not opposite to what we suggest is that she stayed with her boyfriend, who's a very nice young man. But there you go. Right, so...
what, you're suggesting they should split up?
Well, no, I suggested... Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe that'll keep them together.
Yeah, don't act like you like them so much.
Well, I'll just say, I took an English A-level as well. Mm. And during the course of... It was only a one-year A-level, because I dropped out of geography A-level the year before, and another A-level the year before that. You might see a pattern. and in this one-year course, we had to read 5 English classic books. And then at the end of your exam, we obviously had to answer questions about these books. It's just that I thought I was a bit cleverer than everyone else. I didn't bother reading the books and just read the study guides to go along with it and failed the exam with an F. So, kids, don't try that.
No. Yes. By the way, Ben, before we move on, have you heard anything on the grapevine in regards to Doctor Who?
Yes.
That we haven't already spoken about, of course.
Oh, I can guarantee it.
Oh, go on then.
My little cousin now likes Doctor Who. Not cousin, nephew. My little nephew now likes Doctor Who.
Excellent. How old?
And I got a text from him the other day saying, when's the new series on? And I said, ask Stephen Moffat if he can be bothered to write it.
Did I mention last week that Alicia's boss knows somebody who was a Cyberman?
No.
Will you shut up? He knows
is this
somebody.
A story about you telling us about Alicia's boss knowing someone silence? Who was a Cyberman?
I can't. Might not have been a Cyberman. I've forgotten. Never mind. Right, now what we're going to do is we're going to look on the Facebook page and welcome all the newbies.
Yay!
Trouble is, I can't remember who the last one I welcomed was.
Debbie remembers.
I don't.
Kirby does.
I think
yes,
it
you
was,
do. You remember last time.
Was it Merida Dunbroch? No answer.
Dunbroch.
Oh, Merida. That's obviously not her real name.
Yeah, all right. I'm not going to go around that road again. All right, here we go. I'm going to go anyway from here. Welcome to Andy, Ernie Wakefield, Will Lloyd, Sean Robinson. See, these people took my instruction and only join the group if you've got a pronounceable name. Dan.
It's also that, Adam.
Yeah,
also,
we mentioned them last week, too. Will Lloyd, at least.
Shut up. Yeah, go on, Ben.
There are also names that you can read out that make you sound like you're some sort of voice generator.
Really?
Wait.
Will Lloyd.
By the way, here's a real good way of telling whether or not you've read them out. You notice that Will Lloyd was added...
Oh, be quiet! Right,
a week ago.
And, the pedantry.
And Dan Jonesy John's last Tuesday.
Yeah,
so you could start with last Tuesday.
Yes, thank you. Magic! Oh, you're there. Attack! All right.
Last Tuesday, I gave you a mention, but we'll do it again today because I can't remember where we got to.
Right. Dan Jonesy Johns, Izzy Millar, Carlo Serrano, Jamie Jackson.
Carlo Serrano rhymes!
Jamie Jackson Serrano. Jacob Hainsworth, Star Clap.
Hainsworth, that sounds a good name.
Oh, God. Emma Murray, Derek Hartley, and John Kelly. Welcome. Willkommen to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group.
Willkommen.
Is that some sort of faux racism you're doing there, Adam?
No, just saying, just in case any of them are German.
What? German?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought that was Chinese.
there is a hanger-on who I haven't confirmed yet called Biswanger Kimberly, because I couldn't see any reference to any Doctor Who stuff on her Facebook page, basically she's only, or he has only just joined. So that, I thought that was a bit odd, so I haven't agreed that one yet. Do we all agree that we don't agree to that one? No? Okay, I'll carry on. Right.
Correct. Yeah, Hermaphrodite.
Hey?
What? It could be hermaphrodite.
Anyway, it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I tell you what, I'll get my Doctor Who board game out of the cupboard that I can see above there and read questions out of that.
No, honestly, no, you don't know, Ben, because we already discussed this. And where everybody else has watched this story, this is a Time Warrior, by the way, we decided that you're going to get double points by way of a handicap.
That's not a handicap, surely. No, that's an anti-handicap.
Well, when you play golf, you get given extra strokes, don't you, as a handicap? You're given double points by way of making up for the fact you haven't watched the story. And
no, actually, what happens when I play golf, Adam, is I normally wrap one or two clubs around a tree every round and lose about 15 balls. Then don't play for about 6 months. Actually, it's about 9 now. But that's normally what happens.
Here we go. Right then,
when's the last time you saw the Time Warrior?
Probably in a previous life.
Okay, right. Here we go. The first question goes to Kirby. What is Iron Gron moaning about at the beginning of the story?
That the wine is sour and the food is horrible.
Not precisely, no.
Close.
Anybody?
He was.
No, yeah, I can
not
say.
Not precisely. Go on then, Mary.
Isn't that the meat they're eating is old?
I'm going to give you that. They were eating a sheep that had been dead for a year, but I'll give you that one. Mary, your go.
Okay.
What insult does Iron Gron aim at his men when they are too scared to go out in the forest at night?
Huh. Ooh. I don't remember.
It's a general Iron Gronism.
No? You bunch of pussies.
Everything he says is an insult.
Yeah. Am I guessing you don't know the answer?
I don't know the answer.
Anybody? It's chicken-hearted knaves. Right, Robert.
Oh, no.
What hotel is the doctor's lab not exactly like, according to the Brigadier?
Oh, my goodness. I'm supposed to remember that little tiny bit out of the script. No, yes. I don't know.
Right, anybody? It's a hotel.
The Ritz. In...
Well done, Kirby.
Right. I remembered that part.
Ben.
Yes.
Here we go. How long has it been since Rubish last saw his wife and family, as he tells the doctor at unit? How many days?
I'm going to give you a multiple choice.
That was a big hint.
Shut up! I'm going to give you a multiple choice. Where do you wait for me multiple choices?
Okay.
2, 3, or 4?
4.
No, 3.
3! I said 3, it just sounded four over Skype. It was some sort of distortion.
2, 3, or 4 what?
3.
Shut up. Days.
Kirby. 3 days.
Kirby. You didn't mention that.
Oh, do apologise.
Yes, he did.
I did say him. Never mind.
Master. Yep.
Kirby. Forehand. What Master? Is Sarah Jane's first word to the doctor?
Hello?
Correct.
You're kidding.
Mary.
That was the answer.
What is Sarah Jane's Aunt Lavinia doing in America?
What
is Sarah Jane's Aunt Lavinia doing in America?
Oh,
recording a podcast. Oh. No, that's not that.
Yeah.
I know.
Gosh. I know. She wrote a paper or wrote a book.
No, she didn't.
Astrology.
Okay. Kirby said she knows. He knows. Sorry. Sex
she knows.
Kirby knows.
She's on a lecture tour, which I believe is also what she was doing during Canine and Company.
Too much of an example, an answer, I should say. But yes, that is correct. Robert.
Minus one.
Yeah, no bonus points.
No. Robert.
Yes.
In the lab, what does Rubish do that annoys the doctor?
He uses something to stir his tea with.
No, not quite that one.
I know this one too.
Go on then, Kirby.
He uses the TARDIS as a blackboard.
He does indeed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Ben.
Hello. Can I have what was Sarah Jane's surname?
Right then. I'll try and do a multiple choice answer for you here.
Okay.
What is the doctor making in the lab as he explains to Sarah Jane? Was it a cup of tea, a new sonic screwdriver, a Rondian sensor, or something else?
A vibrator.
Excuse me. A cup of tea, I think.
Wrong.
A sonic screwdriver.
Wrong. Right, anybody?
Or a bacon and waffle toasty.
Wrong. Anybody else?
A Marmite cake.
A what?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Right. I'll give the point to Robert. It was a Rondian sensor, which is a delta wave part, a delta particle detector, but never mind.
Oh, if you'd have said delta particle detector, delta wave detector.
Well, I did put that in brackets as a fallback answer.
Yeah, I would have thought it a delta particle detector.
Never mind. Right, in last place, sorry, the current scores are. In last place, with no points, is Ben. In second to last place,
with 1 point.
No, you didn't. Mary and Robert, and in the lead with 5 points, surprise, surprise, Kirby.
Briggs.
Right, next question goes to Kirby.
It's probably a Master. Question for email.
What does the Brigadier exclaim when the Doctor tells him that Rubish is missing?
I don't know.
No. Anybody else?
Oh, damn.
No.
Rubish is missing.
No. He says, oh, my giddy aunt. Mary.
Oh, that's right.
The second Doctor.
I'll take question number 12.
No, you have number 10, which is this one. What is the name of the EastEnders actress who plays Eleanor?
June Brown.
That is correct.
June Woo! Brown. It's Dot Cotton. I know that.
Yeah, Dot Cotton.
I wouldn't have answered that one.
Robert, what is Sarah Jane's first verbal attack on Iron Grom? First thing she says to him.
Get off.
I'll give you 1 point because you got one of the two words correct. Anybody like to come in with the second? The get was the first part. The second.
Get away from me, you stinking little piece of creature rubbish.
Nope, it's one word. Anybody like to get a point for the one word missing?
Lost.
Yeah, 2 points for Ben. That's a double
point. Who's watching it as we're speaking?
The answers.
Right then. Whose question was that? I've lost it now. Oh, was it,
that's mine.
Was it right? This is Ben's question.
That's Ben's question. Yeah.
Right. How does Iron Grom
Dudley Simpson
describe Eleanor? The words are
what? Say again, sorry.
How does Iron Grom describe Eleanor?
Oh, Iron Grom describes Eleanor as the biggest piece of human excrement that you could possibly ever have known.
Incorrect.
Well, not fair because he describes everybody that way.
No, it's a specific description. Anybody like to come in with a specific description?
A turd.
No. Anybody?
Weak, limpid, knave.
No, the answer is narrow-hipped vixen.
Right. See, look, if I can't get that and no one else gets that, I think you've been a little bit unfair with these questions.
All in the script.
I haven't watched this.
This quiz is called You Won't Get This One.
Yeah, right. Well, yes? Ben, do you notice a trend? None of us get these questions.
If it's called You Won't Get This One, why's Kirby got 5 points?
Because he cheats. He's got a Wikipedia page open. Right then,
I haven't.
The current scores are, in last place, joint last place, in fact, Robert and Ben with 2. In second place with 3 points, Mary, and in the lead with 5 points, Kirby. And talking of Kirby,
Wikipedia would only be good for that Gene Brown.
Didn't get a word of that. You sound like one of...
That's why he's got Wikipedia open. That's why his audio is so crap.
You sound like a Patrick Troughton Cyberman. Right then. This is Kirby's question. And try and
Master.
Make it so we can understand what you're saying. What is Lynx's full military title?
I don't know.
Oh, you should have been listening. Anybody?
Is it Group Marshal?
No,
Commander of the 5th Army Space Fleet.
I'm going to give you
the
that.
Army Space Corps.
I just said I'll give you a point for that. The actual answer was...
Stop, Robert. Stop,
Commander
stop.
Lynx, 5th Sontaran Space Unit. Right, Mary.
Oh, I thought it was 4.
Mary, when Rubish frees the Doctor from the Sontaran contraption, what excuse does he make to leave?
To leave?
I'm going to go to the toilet.
No, I don't know. I don't remember.
Anybody? It's all gone quiet.
The jelly babies are boiling.
Nope, nearly. It was, he has to go and find a young girl.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, hold on.
Isn't he a bit old for that?
Well, hold on a minute. This was 1973 at the BBC. That was generally what happened at that time. People went to find young girls.
Very good. Yes. Right.
Now then, Mr. Cigar, who fancies a 6-year-old?
Right. So whose question was that? Robert's?
No, that was mine.
No, this is Robert's then.
Okay.
How does Eingren say to the doctor? I'll say that again because I read it wrong. What does Eingren say to the doctor just before he swings his axe at the end of episode 2?
Die, human. Die, you bugger, die!
Die, you bugger. Yeah, that was commonly used in Doctor Who in the 70s, wasn't it? Die, you shit!
Incorrect. Anybody? Anybody like to come in with the correct phrase?
Yes, it was die, check out my die. Axe. Look how it swings.
No. The answer is... He who strikes Eingron dies. I rather like those who oppose the will of Omega shall not live. It's a similar thought.
Lots of people die, don't they?
Right, Ben, this is your question.
Excellent.
What is the name of Eingron's sidekick in the Time War?
Oh, yes.
Easy.
Right, yeah, this is one of these questions that I think probably are...
Shut up, Robert.
I don't need
that. Wasn't me.
Is it...
Is your name Robert
Kirby? Blood Axe.
It is for double points.
Yeah. Thank you, Wikipedia.
A little research goes a long way.
In last place, or shall we say joint last place, after that round of questioning, is Mary and Robert with 3 points. In second place with 5 points is Kirby. But in the lead with 6 points is Ben.
Can you imagine...
How did that happen?
Can you imagine when Blood Axe was a kid, he was running around being called Blood Axe?
No, he's just probably called Bloody for short.
Blood Axe!
Right, Kirby, this is your question.
I might call my next cat Blood Axe.
Kirby.
Master?
How did Eingren describe the Doctor to Lynx?
Ah, tall head.
I don't know.
Dear, not doing very well this week, are you? Anybody?
No.
Isn't it a tall, floppy head? Floppy-haired
knave
with a long
shank
or something.
Yeah, something about his nose.
Right. Yeah.
Long shank. I'll give
big bugger out the blue box.
Nobody any points because you're all shipping in. The answer is long shank rascal with a mighty nose. That was the answer. Right, this is Mary's question.
Okay.
How did the doctor describe Eingron to Sarah?
Oh, that was my line. Nasty, brutish, and short.
Correct.
Well done.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Who was printed... Start again.
Who was painted?
Be quiet. Who was put in charge of painting the dummies' faces?
I know.
Edward of Wessex.
That's correct.
Hey!
One, two...
Hey!
That is correct.
He's not supposed to know this.
Oh, dear. Right. Ben, your question.
Four points for me.
Right. What?
Never having seen this, I'm winning a quiz. You like?
I think this is the point that you take away his handicap.
I don't think so, Mary. I don't think we start a game and then change the rules halfway through it.
Well,
you haven't played with Adam before, then.
Of course, Ben.
Well, not quizzes.
Ben is not using Wikipedia at all. Right then, so. Right, what of the great masters did the Doctor fancy going to visit?
Sorry, say that again.
Which of the great masters does the Doctor plan to go and visit?
Masters? Would that be Professor Rubbish?
No. Anybody?
I know.
Blood Axe.
Kirby.
Sentry. Eric,
Kirby
Meg.
Said I know first. Go on, Kirby.
No, I said it first.
What do you reckon, Kirby? Did Mary say
it
first?
Is it the Osmic Projector?
No.
I'm losing. Let her
have it. Mary.
Rembrandt.
Correct.
Right. It was Rembrandt, I think.
After that round of questions...
Oh,
no, I'm not going to even do a score check.
I think there must be a bit of a delay between my answers and you hearing them.
Maybe.
Yes.
Rembrandt.
Kirby, your question. How does the Doctor suggest to Sarah that she should look upon the Time Lords as?
Intergalactic...
Hey, is your name me?
A point deducted for Robert.
But he can have it anyway because I don't remember.
Still point deducted. Anybody like to come in with a full answer for a point?
Was it something like intergalactic travel checkers, inspectors?
So you get travel agents.
Ironically, get the point back. But you just had deducted, which I don't know how that works. Right then, Mary. The actual one for us, by the way, Intergalactic Ticket Inspectors. Right, Mary, your question is this. What position... do you mind not coughing over my question?
Sorry.
What position does Iron offer to Lynx when he becomes king?
Goalkeeper. Goalkeeper.
Mary.
Don't remember.
Anybody?
Halfback.
Wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
The answer is general.
Silly Medan.
Robert.
He's got the helmet.
Yes, sir.
After the Doctor's smoke bomb bombardment sends Iron-Grun's men running in fear, what does Iron-Grun call his knaves when they get back to the castle?
And you said it during the episode too, didn't you? Mm. I don't know, lily-livered something or others.
Anybody?
No. Weak pieces of thingy.
The answer is the answer is mice.
Oh, so
right
close.
Then, Ben.
Yes.
Who plays Iron-Grun?
Iron-Grun was. wasn't that David Dacre?
Yes.
Dacre.
Good enough.
Good enough. Dacre is a good. Dacre, Dacre, whatever. Doesn't matter anyway.
Right. Well, then. Actually, I met him and it was Dacre.
Well, okay. Kirby.
Master.
When Rubish asks the Doctor if Iron-Grun is a nice chap, what does the Doctor say?
I wouldn't recommend him for the Royal Society.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, very good, sir.
Mary.
Yeah?
What is the prize for shooting the Doctor down?
I know.
Give it to Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
It's a bag of gold.
Is the correct answer. Ben.
Hello.
How did the Doctor escape being shot by Iron-Grun's men?
He ran away.
Nope. Anybody?
Run away!
I don't remember.
No, you don't remember. Didn't you not watch the blimmin' story or something? The answer is swinging on a chandelier provided by Sarah Jones.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, chandelier swinging. He swung on the chandelier, didn't he?
I've lost it. Whose question was that?
That was mine.
All right.
2 points.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
All right, so at what age does a Time Lord cease to be a lad?
I know.
100?
No. Anybody?
No, 200.
No, just 200, Kirby. Robert, that'll do. Right, Mary.
He was emphasizing
You'll never get this one. Mary?
Oh, dear. I haven't gotten any of them so far.
Which scientist gets sent back to the 20th century first?
Oh. I know.
I don't know.
I know.
Go on in, Ben.
Do they have names?
Is it Professor Rubish?
I didn't catch any names.
No, the answer is Morrison.
Morrissey.
Yes, sir, Robert. Says Morrison go first. Yes, sir.
Why did Lynx's spaceship blow up?
Because he pressed the takeoff too soon.
Is correct. Right, there we are. That we've now run out of questions from the episode. So now it's time for a random load of Trivial Pursuit questions.
Okay.
And the good news for you lot is that Ben's points now go down to 2 points because this is everybody's on the same level here. Right then.
Down to 2 points.
How am I going to get some sort of advantage by having Wikipedia open if you're now going to ask us general knowledge questions?
These aren't general. These are general Doctor Who knowledge questions.
They're Doctor Who Trivial Pursuit questions.
Yes. Okay. How quickly can I type into Google?
How long can you stall?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, right then. So we normally do this, don't we, that the player that's got the most points goes first. So you have the choice of all categories. And I've lost my category page. Hang on. Grief. Oh, here it is. Right. So, Ben.
Now, I have easy, please.
As you're in the lead, you have the choice of all categories, which is Time Lords.
Yeah.
Companions.
Right.
Episodes and stories.
Gotcha.
Timelines.
Years and dates.
Affirmative.
Monsters.
Right.
Or cast, crew, and beyond.
Clear as day. In that case, can I have them all read out to me again? Because I've forgotten what the first one. No, I'm only joking. I'll go for Time Lords, please,
right,
sir.
Time Lords. Question is this: which Doctor's outfit featured a battered leather jacket?
I think, considering this all. this would have probably have been written before the time where Stephen Moffat got his dirty little grubby hands all over the series and started ruining it. I say that would therefore have to be Mr. Christopher Ecclestone.
Will do, says the ninth on the thing. Right.
Thank Ouch. You. That hurt.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Kirby.
Master.
Your choices now are companions, episodes and stories, years and dates, monsters.
Monsters.
Monsters indeed. And monsters question, therefore, is this. What historical disease did the Pteroleptils plan to release into London in the fifth Doctor story, The Visitation?
I know this plague. Thing.
Yay.
The plague.
Any particular plague?
Ebonic.
Ebonic?
I'm going to give you that, even play. Though Robert decided to jump in and therefore gets a point deducted.
And help him. I was helping Kirby.
Now, no, he knew the answer.
Well,
The
thing is that I'm going to have to admit I haven't seen that story.
Irrelevant.
Point away.
What?
Right. Who's next? Robert.
Yes, sir.
Right. So your choices, therefore, are?
I'll have companions, please.
Companion question is this. Who is travelling with the Sixth Doctor when he lands on Ravelox, a planet alarmingly similar to Earth?
He's travelling with Perry.
Correct. So that's not necessarily difficult.
No, because I was thinking when he got together with Mel, and I was thinking, no, that was the mysterious planet. So
okay, Mary.
Yes.
You have choices of episodes and stories, years and dates, or cast, crew, and beyond.
I'll be rubbish no matter what. Might as well do episodes rubbish. And dates.
Episodes and dates story is this. What was the name of the final full Seventh Doctor adventure?
I know.
Is that survival?
It is.
Yay!
Oh, wow.
What's the answer? We know what the benefit of getting the question right is. What's the answer?
Right, Ben, your two choices are years and dates or cast, crew and beyond.
We'll go with years and dates, please, sir.
Years and dates question is this. In what year was a story broadcast where the Fourth Doctor encountered the disembodied head of a Time Lord named Morbius in a huge jar? What year was that?
What year was Morbius?
Yes.
I'm Brain thinking dip. It would have
and
been...
researching.
No, not researching at all. Look, my hands are both here. I can clap to prove that my hands aren't typing.
I know.
I think it would have been 19. Oh God, the page has just gone. No.
Right, too late.
No. My answer is quite clear, and I don't want to, you know, muck around or anything like that, but just to give you my answer once and for all, because I don't want you to think that I'm procrastinating or anything like that as I'm looking for it. I mean, not looking for it. I meant trying to
Robert,
remember
what's
it.
What's the answer?
We're going to go 1976.
Yes. Well done, Robert. Yes.
It was the year after I was born, Adam. How can I not know that?
Right, so there's one more round
if
of questions
I click
now.
That link a bit quicker.
One more round of questions out, which I decide what the questions are. So here we go.
Ooh.
This one would therefore be for Kirby.
Master.
It was the 3rd of January.
And it is, Kirby. It is a Time Lords question.
Master.
What was the name of the airborne aircraft carrier designed by Harold Saxon and used by UNIT?
That's a Time Lord Valiant. Question?
I don't know.
No, that is a... it is, actually. The Valiant is the correct answer, by the way. Mary.
You're kidding.
Mary, this is a companion's question. Who lived at 79 Aikman Road, Colchester? Full name, please.
The only companion I know that actually had any kind of an address was Amelia Pond.
He is incorrect. Anybody would like to come in with a correct answer?
Sarah Jane.
Nope. Anybody? The answer is...
Hold on.
Amelia Pond Williams.
Nope. The answer is Craig Owens. Right. Robert.
Oh, dear.
What?
Episodes and stories for you, Robert. What is the name of the holiday camp that Delta and the Bannermen is set in?
I know it's Shangri-La.
It's correct. Now, the card itself
was going to say bat lens, but...
Yeah, but the card itself actually gave out a multi-choice answer, but I didn't bother with that part of it. Ben, the final question.
Well, these questions are not listed right, because we're talking about an airship, not a Time Lord. We're talking about a
But the
person...
answer was the Master, who is a Time Lord.
And Howard Saxon was in the question, and he's a Master, who is a Time Lord.
Okay. And Fred was never a companion.
Right, Ben. This I agree is your with you on question. That, yeah. Dates and right. years, or even years and dates. Queen Victoria, right. who the 10th Doctor met in Scotland, lost her husband in 1861, but what was his name and title?
Queen Victoria?
Yes.
In that 10th Doctor episode?
Yes.
Tooth and Claw.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, she was obviously married to Albert, who was Prince Consort.
Correct.
Who died in 1861.
Correct.
And if I remember rightly...
Correct.
Well, I'm just giving you some details about Edward Prince Consort now.
Edward?
Albert Prince Consort. He was a very, very interesting chap. If I remember rightly, heard when his heart stopped beating and he died.
So the final scores of the quiz this week is, in last place, stop crackling your microphone. In last place, with 8 points, is Mary. In third place with 11 points is Kirby.
Oh.
In second place with 13 points, but probably would have ended up with a good 17 or 18 points if he hadn't been cheating and getting everybody trying to give everybody the wrong answers. Robert. But the winner this week with 18 points.
Adam, tell us who's won.
Ben!
Yay! Oh, hold on. Woo! I can do better than that. Hold on. Can we just do that again? Say that again.
Ben! It's quite funny because that's what Manchester United fans have not been doing for quite a long time.
That was my fans clapping.
Just outside your window, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have my air conditioner clapping me.
I don't need... I just want a quiz. It doesn't matter. Seriously.
Without
stay
any
there,
cheating
I'll be out in about 15
whatsoever.
Minutes. You at the door. Yeah, you stay there. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you. Hey, honey. Baby, hello. Yeah, I'll show you. I'll let you have a go at my sonic screwdriver. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Adam, you were doing something.
Yes, that was it. Thanks for listening to the quiz this week and the show and everything else. Yeah, good. Anybody got anything else to say before we go?
Yeah.
Next week.
Yes, Ben?
I have something to say.
Yeah, what are we doing next week?
Goodbye.
No, don't be so flippant, Adam Day Pearson.
Go on, then.
I saw something earlier
Rude.
In the week that was very Doctor Who. Rude. I tell you what, no, Sherlock. Let's talk Sherlock on a Doctor Who pod.
Oh, yay!
I love Sherlock, even though that idiot writes it. I think it's fantastic.
Muppet.
I saw something about it. I can't remember. It was something, some Doctor Who thing that I saw, but I can't find it for now. So I'll mention it next week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, next week it's the twin dilemma. Whose idea was this? What a dilemma that is! Try and write questions on that. Yes, the twin dilemma next week. Pardon?
And are we doing it on Sunday?
I don't know. Are we?
We're going to find out when Matthew and maybe Reese join us.
Yes, Cyber Leader.
Sorry.
Possibly, I don't know, but if we do it on a Sunday, then therefore me and Ben will have to record something on the Monday, won't we, Ben?
Yeah, because I'm not around Sunday nights because I'm way too busy in my life.
Well, either time's fine with me.
So how is it with everybody else?
Why don't we leave it up to the listeners to decide when we record?
Therefore, we won't have an episode.
We'll take a vote. All 238 people get to vote.
Yeah, that'll be none.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we pencil in Monday? And if things develop that mean we have to record on Sunday, then so be it.
We'll just do summit by ourselves, Mr. Adams.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that then.
Monday.
Monday.
Yeah. And Kirby, when did you suddenly become okay with Monday? You were always pushing for Sundays.
His wife's booked him in for Sunday nights now.
Either time is fine. I don't.
It's getting up at 4:30 isn't always fun, but yeah, it's
not fun.
No, I can completely sympathize with you there. I had to get up at like 10:30 this morning to be able to get up to the daughters.
Excellent.
I hate those early mornings.
Right, I've got to go and continue with my diet, and therefore my lunch will be
Hold on, no, that makes absolutely no sense at all. Why have you got to go to continue with your diet? Because surely the best way of you not stuffing your face full of pizza is by not stopping the podcast.
No.
If you carry on recording this for another 6.5 hours, you're going to lose more weight than you would do by going.
Mary and Robert, who are medical people, will agree with this, that even if you're on a diet, you still actually have to eat something. It's just what you eat that counts. And I will be eating for my lunch a Marmite granary bear bread sandwich, and that'll be it.
Ooh,
really?
That sounds good.
Ooh, sounds disgusting.
Cut out all the bread completely, Adam. Cut out bread.
Marmite is wonderful. Bread.
It's lovely. It's
I'm going to have Marmite on a bagel this morning.
So I'll have stuck to it.
Having Marmite, Adam, go out into your back garden, get a bucket and some spade, pick up some mud, mix some water in it, and that'll probably be Marmite.
Yeah, I'm sure the dogs have left you something that you can put in place of Marmite.
That'll give the tasty extra kick, Mary.
Marmite is lovely. Be quiet. That's going to be my lunch with a nice cup of tea. Nom nom. In fact, yesterday for lunch, you know what I had for lunch yesterday? I'm a part of my diet. I had a banana and a packet of Wotsits.
Double Whoppers.
No, a banana and a packet of Wotsits.
What are Wotsits?
Kirby, explain to Mary what a Wotsit is.
I've heard of them. I don't remember what they are.
They're cheese puffs.
Did you just say you had a bag of Wotsits and you're on a diet?
What's this? A bloody 99 calories a pack. What's the matter with you?
Mate, your diet is shocking.
You've got to eat healthy food.
So, the banana!
My diet this morning consisted of 2 sausage rolls for breakfast. I would have had 3, but I'm on a diet.
Well, I had toast for breakfast, just toast and margarine. And that would be low flora margarine, by the way.
Toasted margarine surely is a drink.
No, toast and granary toast and margarine, 2 slices of which were very nice. Although I was still hungry afterwards, is the only problem. But
would leave you hungry.
No, what I'm saying is that I've known from previous diets when I've got myself down to about 12.5 stone that the hunger is part of the losing weight, so you have to suffer it. Unfortunately,
depends what you eat, really.
Yeah, it does.
I have found also in experience that. While being hungry, a way of quelling the hunger is by having a hot coffee with no sugar in it, or a hot tea with no sugar in it. That sort of takes away the hunger for a little period, that short period.
Adam,
Eggs.
Several small meals a day is the best way to go.
I'm not doing
several small meals.
I shall be having, because we've got a big meal, big-ish meal tonight, which is quiche, and Deb's going to be very annoyed with me because she's going to see
quiche.
She does these quiches and cuts them in half, and we have half each. But I'm going to be cutting mine in half, and she's going to be very annoyed when she sees me a quarter of quiche get chucked in the bin later on. She'll be because she's been one moan about me going on a diet. But when she sees me chucking away food she's cooked, she's not going to like it.
Why chuck it away?
Much.
Put it in the fridge.
Yeah, why throw it away? Yeah,
and eat it the next day.
Yeah, I'm not going to have it tomorrow. I don't like quiche that much, to be honest. I'm only doing it to please her. But yeah, it's a good idea. I'll stick it in the fridge. Good idea. Meanwhile. It's time for me to go. Moving away from the 20 megabyte food podcast and finish cooking the dog's dinner.
Eat eggs, Adam.
Thank you for listening to the show. Eggs. See you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.